are listening to Up to Me Radio, the best in inspirational talk radio. It's up to me.
Hello, my friends, and welcome to Coffee with Kim. I invite you to journey with me to a new day. I believe God has led you to this moment and this place because He is about to bring purpose and potential to your story. So join thousands of women and men from around the globe who have discovered how powerful their stories become once Christ touches them with His purpose. Don't you long to make this same discovery? Then grab your coffee, scoot in, and join me as we let God's Word reveal how every part of your past has been preparing you for this very moment. Hey, I have a question for you. How do you know your purpose? Do you know your purpose? Are you living your purpose? Are you powered by your purpose? Today's guest had that question asked to her a few years ago, and she quickly told everyone, I'm not really sure what my purpose is. As she quickly climbed the corporate ladder to executive positions, people kept asking, though, the same question, do you know your purpose? And I can only imagine the frustration, because I know my frustration by being able to say, I'm not sure that I do. And maybe you are there today. Maybe even when I ask you that question today, do you know your purpose? Maybe you just go, oh, my gosh, I don't even want to think about that purpose. Everyone wants to know, am I living my purpose? I don't know what my purpose is. Well, we can. We can know our purpose, and today I want you to get your pen and paper, because we are going to have an hour of explaining how you can know your purpose and even how your past plays into that purpose. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Coffee, Conversations of Friends of Faith to Encourage and Equip. My name is Kim Crable, and before we move on, can I just say thank you for allowing me to come into your home or into your car, or wherever you are, to be able to present to you testimonies of hope every week. Can you believe that we are concluding with today's episode? We are concluding our third season. And I see that our numbers are growing and we have more people listening, men and women and teens. And I just want to thank you. I want to thank you for the awesome privilege and honor it is. Every time you turn on this show, I pray that it will always be something that is encouraging, but more importantly, that leads you directly to the Lord, because He has all of our answers. He has everything that we need. I was studying this morning in my quiet time, 1 Peter 5:7, and you know that scripture, it says, cast all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. And that word cares, as we talk about today's purpose and as we are trying to fulfill our purpose and we have all these cares on us, do you know that that word care, when God cares for us, you know what that in the Greek actually means? That not only does He have the emotion that He cares for us, but that word care means He has already made provision for us. So, friends, I just pray that every time you turn this on, that you get a word like that, that you know that God really cares for you and that He indeed created you with a purpose in mind. And each and every day we live out that purpose. So how do we find that? How do we know that we're aligning our life with His will? How do we lay our head down every night and go, okay, something happened today that made me feel significant. I really feel like I'm living out God's purpose. Well, today, someone very special to me, an incredible friend. She does interviews herself. She's on TV and radio, and she's all over the place with also one goal in mind, and that is to help others find their purpose. So I would like to invite onto the show a really good friend of mine and someone that you're going to love so much, Beth Townsend. Beth, welcome, friend, and thank you for joining us for coffee today.
Well, thank you so much. I am so glad to be here talking about my favorite topic, which you're right, it is purpose and passion and getting up every day confident that God has put us here for a reason and that we can live out that reason every day.
And Beth, we really can. you know, so many people, you know, when you ask them that, it's so overwhelming. I mean, and I remember that. Do you? Obviously, it seems like from your testimony and from this incredible book that you've written, Life on Purpose, you know, I can remember the frustration of not knowing my purpose. As a matter of fact, even feeling like it was too late for that purpose. Mm. Do you remember that?
I do remember that. And I think we have seasons in our life when we feel like we're waking up and we're living in our it. It doesn't matter where we are in our faith. And then there's other seasons. You could be a strong, committed Christian, and you feel like, wait, what happened? Yeah. I'm feeling disconnected. And, you know, I think God calls, it's kind of like a yellow light when you go through a caution light. That's just when God is putting up the yellow light saying, hey, draw back to me. You're good. Everything's okay. Just draw back to me, and I have promised to lead you, and I will not fail you. And I think that purpose is a process, and I think a lot of times people think that it's one big answer to life's biggest question. But the truth is it's a daily process, and, you know, it's always changing, it's always evolving, and I think that we get, you know, all I like to say, all you got to do today is today, but you know, when you get today, you get to do today really, really well. And you've got the grace for today and what you need, and each day builds upon that.
Absolutely. I love that, and I think that you just put a lot of people at ease, because I do think that, I mean, that's what I thought when people said you were born with a purpose, there's a plan. I would think, I mean, that scripture, Jeremiah 29:11, was my least favorite scripture in the Bible. I just, every time I heard that quoted from the pulpit, I could just feel myself cowering on the inside. I would look around and everybody would be shaking their head like, oh, yeah, amen, amen. And I was thinking, oh, my gosh. I mean, what do you do? Where do you turn to find that answer? And, you know, Beth, I'll tell you what the place that God had me turn was to my past. I found my purpose in the things I had been through, being able to talk about what I had been through. And it was there all along. But, boy, the enemy can truly deceive us, can't he?
He can, and he does actively. And I think that, you know, our past is very much a big part of our purpose because – you know, there's the big question of, is pain part of purpose? And matter of fact, I did a quick video yesterday. I do a lot of those in there. This was about you can't teach what you haven't walked. So, for instance, I can't get up and talk about having gone through a divorce because I've never been through a divorce. I was a product of divorce, so I can talk about being a child of divorce. But it's hard for me to walk a friend of mine through something unless I have actually been through that. But what we have walked is what God is using to help others walk through things. And a lot of times we tell people, oh, you just need to walk with Jesus. Well, the truth is, yeah, they do need to walk with Jesus. But the way they're going to learn how to walk with Jesus is if we offer to walk with them through something that we can help them through, where when we're walking with Jesus, they meet our Jesus.
I just hope everybody really heard that, because we're always thinking, okay, well, I don't have this specialized degree, or I don't have this kind of knowledge, or I don't have this. And it really is going back to what you have been through and being able, when God says, you know, love me with your whole heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself, that love is manifested so many times in just being real and sharing what you've been through to be a voice of hope, isn't it? I mean, it sounds so simple. It's not simple. Number one, it's hard to disclose what you've been through many times. That's probably the hardest, don't you think, because of the enemy saying, oh, don't share that. Don't, you know, you're not going to be accepted. I mean, I ran from that for years. And when I was able to bypass or get through, negate that one lie, my whole life, Beth, began to open up in truth. When I was able to forget, you know, go past that one lie. And I feel like a lot of people are listening to us today and really need to hear what you just said, that you can use what you've been through. That's your greatest ministry.
Absolutely. And, you're right about, you know, the lies, because I think a lot of people carry around secrets and they look at the social media perfect world and, you know, it's the Disneyland of everything, you know, that looks like everybody's doing so well. But for me, you know, religion was a real problem for my family because my dad was very religious. He was a self-proclaimed prophet. He was very religious, but his religion did not equate to relationship. So it was very confusing for our family. So, you know, I like to say religion caused us a lot of problems because, you know, he was very religious, but that did not, that didn't play out on, you know, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. So I'm the youngest of five kids. My dad ended up being married several times, and my mom ended up raising all five kids on her own, working two jobs. So I was on my own financially right out of college. Right out of high school. So right out of high school, you know, when you get handed your – my mom's a great mom, but when you get handed your, okay, you're an adult, go figure life out card at 17 years old, life gets real hard real quick. And I was a Christian. I had no idea what that meant. I was a saved Christian. I had been, you know, I had walked the aisle. But beyond that, I knew nothing other than I was scared of what my dad was. Right out of high school, when I got, you know, when I was on my own, I mean, no house. I mean, my mom sold the house. We couldn't afford it. So I went to work. And without going into a whole lot of details, I went to work because, A, I had to go to work, and, B, work had to work for me, because if it didn't, I wasn't going to be able to have a place to live or food to eat. So I didn't have time to shop jobs. I didn't have time to see if I liked something. I had to go into a job with a plan, and I had to work. And I ended up in the field of property management. And the reason that I ended up in that field is because it offered an apartment and a salary. And so that's how I picked my job. But fast forward, I advanced in that career to several years climbing the corporate ladder. I was very successful. And the reason that I was successful is not because I had education, not because I had experience, but I had an excellent attitude. And I had watched people prior to meetings complain about company policy and complain about the boss said this and the boss said that. And I simply made a mental note all those years ago in my early 20s that I'll never be a complainer. I will never be this, because it was disingenuous, and I was so thankful for the job that I had. I would have never complained anyway because, you know, they didn't understand where I was coming from because I had to have the job. So I ended up teaching seminars in my industry because I was very successful in my work because I was very excited about what I was doing, and that is when the first question of purpose ever popped up.
And what of what your life's purpose was? That was the question that came into your life at that point. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, because I would stand up in front of a group of people and I would teach how to be successful at work and how to do your job well. And because I was good at it, people would say, oh, well, you must be living your purpose. Well, I had no idea. I mean, at that point, I'd been just grinding at the years away at work, and I hadn't even thought about a purpose. And it was when God kind of opened that door for me again about, and I remember thinking, wait, isn't that kind of a God thing? And I began to think about work a lot less about the work part of it and more about what was happening in my heart. And I was developing a hunger for something deeper than just making ends meet and just climbing the corporate ladder. You know, it just began to feel I was happy with what I had done, but it began to be not enough.
Yeah, you know, I hear that so, and I think I felt it for sure, and I hear that in so many lives, especially, you know, I hear this really more in men than I do women, but maybe it's just because women know how to blend it better, I'm not sure, but or maybe it's just the women that I've talked to more than others, but I hear the same thought of, yeah, I'm successful, I know success. I've worked hard. I know success. But there's still something lacking. And to me, I always go take them to the same place, Beth. It's like, yeah, you're successful, but you're not feeling your significance, which is the purpose. Mm-hmm. It's like it's like the world, I could quit doing what I'm doing today, and it wouldn't affect the world. When you are living, I believe, when you're living out your purpose and your significance, it's so relational related. It's so driven by an eternal perspective that what you're doing really does matter. And not to say that jobs don't matter. Of course they do. Every job that you pour yourself into matters. But that's more of a temporary mattering, you know, getting the job done, making sure all the details are done, versus living a purpose for Christ where you are talking about life after death, when you're talking about how God wants to make your life worthy or who you are in Christ. There's a different focus and a different perspective, don't you think?
Well, I do, and because of the purpose question that people would ask me at seminars that I would lead, I began to talk to my husband about interviewing people because, that became a huge question for me. Well, all these people that wake up and they know what God put them on earth to do, how in the world did they figure that out? So, you know, it's over 20 years that I've been doing those interviews, which is, you know, my book is my story, but it's how those interviews, I thought I was going to learn about them when God was really teaching them a life lesson for me. And one of those interviews was with University of Georgia coach Mark Rick at the time. And you talk about talk about performance and purpose, because a lot of people are confused with, should my job be my purpose? And you know, if I'm called by God, shouldn't I go into ministry? And the answer to that, it could be yes, but most of the time it's a no, because you know, our purpose is our platform, regardless of where we are. So in the particular case, when you're talking about the work aspect of it, I remember the interview that I did with Coach Rick, and he was, you know, he was a well-known Christian, but his job was to be a coach. And, you know, we talk about blending performance with our profession, and, you know, his thing was excellent. A sense of excellence. It doesn't matter if I'm on the field. It doesn't matter if I'm at home with my family. That same commitment to excellence is, I take it with me everywhere I go. So it's not about the job per se. It may be, but it's really about that sense of purpose and that sense of passion for wherever we may be. I mean, there are times, there was a season in my life when my purpose was just to make ends meet. I mean, that was really about all I could muster up. And, you know, I learned what that meant, but you know, we don't have to go into ministry to live out our purpose. We may need to, but, you know, there are some seasons and some times when our job is where we are to perform our purpose, where we are to have influence, where we are to be great leaders, where we are to put others, serve one another. And I think that can be confusing sometimes, that, you know, our performance doesn't always have to be because we're the pastor or we're in ministry. We are in ministry regardless of what our job is.
Oh, I so agree with you. And I think that this is such a message of today, because we all want to feel like we're living out our purpose. We all want to, you know, feel that significance. And so many times we feel like, okay, well then, like you said, well, what ministry, you know, do I need to go in? I feel like, Beth, this is what I believe, and people are always asking me, how did this ministry that I'm in, you probably get the same question, but Kim, how did you build such a large ministry? How in the world did that happen? Well, my answer is this: I was not intending to build a large ministry. I don't like large things. I don't like large malls. I don't like a lot of things on my hot dog. Just put some mustard on it. I'm just a simple girl. Don't need any attention. I just love the Lord, like most of us do. But what happened was God put it in my heart to help everyone understand that they are a ministry. You're the ministry. You don't have to go out and join a ministry to tell people about Jesus, to share the passion that you have in your heart. Look at the Samaritan woman. Was there anyone that had a greater ministry? And what did she do? She just ran back into her community of people who had abused her, abandoned her, ostracized her. Her ministry was just to simply go back and let them know that there's this man named Jesus, and he loves you. She became the ministry. And so when people come into what I do, the Roses and Rainbows ministry, we're not about building numbers. I want people to come in, get the word of God, realize that wherever they are, they have been sent there to be the salt and the light and the fragrance. They're the ministry. You don't need to carry a banner of any ministry to minister the hope and the ministry of reconciliation that God has called all of us to. So thank you for bringing that up. As you can tell, that is one of the passions of my heart, is for everyone to understand that you in Christ are the ministry when you just simply go out and live for him wherever you are, in whatever job God has put you in, whatever neighborhood he has put you in. You, listeners, you are the ministry. Beth, that's powerful, don't you think? To really be able to understand that truth, I think would just set people so free and allow them to breathe. Like, okay, I am where I'm supposed to be. I didn't mess up because this or that happened to me. I can start right today just sharing with other people how much I love the Lord.
Well, and I agree with that. And I think that a lot of times, on the how do I live out my day to day, one of the purpose principles that is my favorite goes back to that I am not a complainer decision that I made years ago. And it's part of knowing your purpose is knowing who you're not. We're so committed to trying to figure out who we are and what that means we do. But living a life of purpose is opposite of that. It's knowing who we're not, okay? It's knowing what we're not called to do. It's knowing where we're not supposed to go. I believe that the to-don't list is more important than the to-do list, and who we're not is more important than who we are. For instance, I'm a writer, I'm a speaker, but I'm not a Bible teacher. So that takes the pressure off of me when I'm speaking and engaging with people, on many levels. I don't have to be a Bible scholar. I did not grow up with the Bible in my home. So it takes pressure off of me to know, oh, you know what? I don't have to be a Bible teacher. God didn't call me to that. I speak. I talk about, life's purpose. But another thing, I'm not a comedian. I tell funny stories. I tell a lot of funny stories when I talk. But, I mean, it's great to know who we're not. And I think that we're way better off in today's world, especially with, the confusing times that we have, is to be very comfortable, with who we're not, and be very comfortable and love all the things we can't do, because we can't do it all. And so...
Yes.
I think knowing you're not.
Yes.
It's just very free.
Yes. Absolutely. And it helps you to stay in your lane. And the lane, I think that we start moving into other people's lane. It's so easy. That comparison trap, Beth.
Yeah.
That comparison trap. It's like, oh, she was so funny on stage. I'm going to try that. Or, gosh, that was her. We are anointed for special callings in our lives. And if we want to really feel good about what we're doing, then we stay in our lane. Believe me, I've learned that the hard way. I've tried to be the comedian. And what's so funny is my audiences end up laughing at me trying to be a comedian much more, because I always get so tickled at the joke, Beth. I get so tickled, I start cracking myself up. And then they start laughing. They don't even know the joke. So it really is just a disaster. Now, it is fun, but I just learned. So I'm so with you on that. And I know, Beth, that's one of your principles in your book. And audience, friends, I want you to grab this book. It's called Life on Purpose. And some of the things that Beth is talking about today are principles right out of that book. So we're going to have to take a break. Can you believe we're almost halfway done? The hour goes by so quickly. It's crazy, isn't it? But
It is.
So what we're going to do is we're going to take a 30-second break. And when we come back, I think I'm looking at all of these principles that you Well, yeah, I'm sure you just listed a few of the principles that are in this book because there's so many more than what I have here. But I think that I want to go into, we've talked about your platform, your purpose. I love that performance in your profession. I always tell everybody, wherever God has put you, that's your platform to live, you know, God's. So that's right there in your book. But you know what? I think that when we come back, I want to talk about, when was it that I saw this, about fear, about overcoming fear, that you talk about. Choose faith over fear. Every day we choose one or the other. Let's fight for the right using God's word. All right, so let's, when we get back, and I know we are in such a fear-driven society right now. Everybody is so fearful. Fear has totally eroding and eradicating so much of our faith. So when we come back, we're going to talk about one of the incredible principles in Beth Kelson's book, Life on Purpose. You can get it, I'm sure, at Amazon and all these other places. Just type it in and you can get it. When we get back, we're going to talk about choosing faith over fear. So, Beth, we'll be right back in 30 seconds.
Okay.
There are everyday actions to help prevent the spread of respiratory diseases. Wash your hands. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. Stay home when you are sick. Cover your cough or sneeze. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects with household cleaning spray. For more information, visit cdc.gov/COVID-19. This message brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Coffee. My name is Kim Crable, your host. And again, I'd like to thank you for three wonderful seasons of being invited into your home, into your office, into your ear with what I hope is always a message of God's hope, not denominationally based or focused, but just on the Word of God, bringing people into the room, into the studio to be able to share with you practical ways of God's empowering principles and promises. So again, just thank you so much. This is the last show of this live show of this season. So in the month of August and the first part of September, you'll be able to hear some of our favorite shows. So stay tuned and still join us every Monday. You'll be able to hear some special encores. Well, before we get back to our incredible guest today and one of my dear friends, Beth Townsend, I just wanted to remind you that, yes, we are looking for 2021, our Burdens of Blessings tour. We'd love to bring this transformational message to your city. So please just call or contact, email karen@kimcrable.org. We are truly almost booked up for next year because we've had to push so many this year to next year, but we'd still love to make that happen. So contact us, karen@kimcrable.org. I'd like to invite you to join me on my Facebook page, www.facebook.com/rosesandrainbows. There every morning, Monday through Friday at 9 o'clock, we have a live devotional. There are a group of people, hundreds, thousands across the nation, who join us, and beyond the nation, who join us. It really is a very special time of connecting. So join us at facebook.com/rosesandrainbows, or also meet us on our website, kimcrable.org. If you'd like, you can watch our teaching series, Burdens of Blessings, and our Coffee with Kim TV shows on many major networks right now, major networks like Inspiration TV, NRB TV, many others. I think there's 10 or 12 of them now. Just another way that God has blessed us to be able to share his story of hope. So just check your local listings and join us there. We are a team and we need each other. And it's so good to know that God made us to where we didn't have to be alone. As a matter of fact, we really cannot do life at its best on our own. God really inspired us. He made us to need one another. So speaking of that, let's get back to our guest today, Beth Townsend. Beth, thank you so much for joining us. This is an hour of your very busy day, and I just want you to know we truly do appreciate that so much.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
Oh, absolutely. I'd love for us to do something together. I think we could do a really great conference or retreat together. So
yes.
I just feel like our hearts are so the same, and I just feel like that, you know, I know that you've been through this. I know that what you're saying, you've lived. It's just like what you were talking about before, and I say it, I always say you have to walk it before you can truly talk it, and that mm-hmm. comes out of the book of James, and that's also one of the principles in your book, Life on Purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to teach other people, I want to show them in God's word that what you've walked through, you can talk about it. The Bible tells us to comfort others with the same comfort that God has comforted us with. So that's a ministry right there on its own, isn't it, Beth?
Mm-hmm. It is, so. And I think that a lot of times we hold on. You know, the great thing about being in a relationship with Jesus is that he loves all of us. He loves, you know, the good, the bad, the ugly. And, you know, I have a post-abortion story, and I won't share the story because, you know, you get it. It's a very difficult thing to talk about. But I think that when we hold secrets in and we have a part of ourselves that we've held back, whether it be, you know, something that makes us feel unworthy, of course, the enemy has a heyday with that. But I remember holding on to that secret for so long and not telling anyone. And once I finally did, I began to feel the real freedom that comes from really having no secrets. There's nothing like having no secrets and being humble before God and before others. And I think part of the process of purpose is being able to feel whole and healthy and complete before God and therefore before others. And I think part of purpose is just kind of making amends with all of who we are and letting God shape that. And, you know, God has used that part of my story to be able to share with others. You know, there's nothing you've done, no place you've been, you know, nothing that is not redeemable by God. And, you know, when you come along someone that has been through a similar situation and you tell them, look, I've been there, I've done that, you can truly walk someone through that same process that brought you through to absolute freedom. And that's a very important part of purpose.
Absolutely. And, you know, what you're talking about reminds me so much of the Samaritan woman, you know, how Jesus kept trying to get her back to her truth. You know, when mm-hmm. she looked at him and said, I don't even have a husband. And, you know, if you were an onlooker, Beth, and you just heard this man look at her and say, seriously, not only are you have you not been married, you've been married 5 times and you're living with someone now. You know, you would, mm-hmm. as an onlooker, you would probably think, whoa, let up on her. You know, but it was mm-hmm. his tone was different. And what he was doing was you know, if he had just said, oh, okay, and walked away, you know, that was for mm-hmm. her benefit, as you very well know. So I'm actually talking to our listeners in case they are not fully aware of the story. The reason Jesus wanted her to know that he knew, just like with you and the abortion, it was me with all that I've gone through, and listener, for what you've gone through, those secrets that you still have. Jesus was bringing that out because he wanted her to understand the depth of his love and his forgiveness. Without mm-hmm. her knowing that he knew, she would have never felt free, would she? So it was that bringing it out so that he knew, so that she could say, he loves me, and he knows everything about me. That's powerful.
It's so powerful, and it's so freeing. And there's just, you know, I think in today's world, we talked about faith over fear. And there's a lot of people that are afraid right now for good reason.
Sure.
But, you know, it's kind of like for such a time as this, you know, we all need to be, you know, seeking what God has put us in this season of our country for right now, because there is a purpose for each of us. And, you know, I don't do politics in my ministry because it's very divisive. And I think, you know, people need to make an educated vote. But, I think faith over fear is when we choose what news we're going to listen to, You know, I mean, it's important to stay up on the news, but the news is so confusing. And if you're getting your mood for the day based on whichever news outlet you're watching, you've missed the opportunity to align that before with Jesus, the one who is walking with us. So we have to choose good news over the news, not just now, but I mean, we have to frame our day in that, okay, God has a purpose for me today, and what is that purpose for me today? And then he's going to walk us into it. You know, the Bible says many are the plans of the man's heart, but the Lord's purpose prevails. I mean, we get to have lots of plans. We get to go knock on lots of doors all day, every day. We get to chase our dreams down. But the fact that his purpose prevails is our insurance policy, that he's going to see to it that we go where he wants us to go. And we need to be, you know, Christians need to be rising up in faith right now. We need to be salt in a world that needs flavor. We need to be light in a world we see darkness. And if we're not that, and I don't mean, you know, the famous Christians, I mean the everyday Christians. If we're not that in our neighborhoods and in our families, then who in the world is going to be encouraging people that are discouraged? You know, that's you know, it really comes down to that. And also, one of the purpose principles that is another one that I learned a long time ago, being on my own so early, is your words matter or your words scatter. You don't speak a word that you haven't. I mean, living on purpose is just about being very intentional and careful about how you live. It's about living as wise. So you don't. It's best not to speak words out of an emotional moment because, you know, when you think of Jesus as our model and when he was faced with Satan and temptation, he spoke God's words because he knew he couldn't go wrong. So when you're anxious and when you're feeling like, I don't know what to do, the answer to that dialogue is to use Scripture. And it doesn't even matter which one, because the word is active and living. So if we begin to use Jesus as our model, I mean, if he used Scripture in the face of, you know, what he faced and when Satan tried to tempt him, why wouldn't we do that? So we can say, I am a new creation in Christ when we start to freak out about the things in our past. Or we can cast our care on him, for he cares for us. We can begin to frame our conversations in such a way that we let the Word of God and the Spirit of God lead that. And so our words begin to matter. We don't just throw them out there like they're not important. They are so, every single word is so important. And we just need to know that with every one we have an opportunity to be a blessing and to be very careful and on purpose with what we say, what we post. What we post is so important. And,
isn't that the truth?
I agree with you.
Absolutely. And I think, absolutely, if we're not living the hope, if we're not being the hope, if we're not being the ambassadors for Christ, then we're joining the wrong team. And it's so easy to get so caught up in the politics. I, too, don't get involved. I've always loved politics. I love sports. I love Jesus. I love my family. You know, my life could be very narrow, but I've chosen in the last few years to become a part of politics, because there's not a purity of politics like there once was. I mean, I don't know that you could ever say politics was pure, but now it's definitely to the point now to where it's just, it's not worth wasting your time. I think it's very important to vote and vote your conscience and know what the, you know, what it is, but to just talk about it. I will talk to people privately, but I would never do it from a platform or from a radio show, because it's just too divisive right now, and I'm just not going to go there. I'm going to stay with what I know, like you said, is the good news, and I just feel like that's so, so incredibly important. Beth, you talked about something that I want to go back to really quickly, because it's another one of the things that's my passion, is when you were talking about the shame and the secrets. And, you know, you had such a good word on that, and I felt like I just needed to go back and tell our listeners today, is that, you know, shame is not anything that's of God. There's no condemnation. God did not come to condemn. And it's one of the things I teach in the Burdens of Blessing series that I do, Beth, is that if you're feeling condemnation, then you're listening to the wrong voices. God is the one who comforts. He comes to discipline. He comes to bring us over to the side of truth. So when we are, and I lived for so many years with such self-condemnation. I was hearing the voice of adults from my early childhood. I was listening to their voices and not God's voice. I made lots of mistakes. I made lots of wrong choices. I had lots of abuse that I suffered through. And if our listeners are listening to that, if you've made a mistake, if you have chosen something and you think, I can't believe I did that, here's the truth, and I want you to hear this today, is that when Christ died on the cross, he knew that, and he has forgiven us. It's, all we have to do is ask. All we do is ask for forgiveness, and his forgiveness is instantaneous. It happens right now. We may have to walk through some things to feel healed, but God's forgiveness is at that moment that we ask. And the moment, and you heard this through Beth, and I'm telling you right now because I've experienced it, the moment that you shatter the silence of that secret that you're holding inside your heart, the moment you shatter the silence and you speak that with a friend that you trust or a pastor you know or a friend that just that you are able to voice that, the moment that you shatter the silence, the shame begins to go away. Shame can only reside in silence, and the enemy knows that, and the longer he can keep you quiet, the longer he can keep you living under shame, guilt, and regret. And you heard Beth say, the moment she began to put a voice to that, Beth, how did you said it was immediately, you started feeling an immediate release from that shame.
Well, I did. The person that I told first was my husband, who I'd been married to for years by that point. And I felt, you know, all along, every day, I thought I should have told him. I should have told him. I should have told him. The way God worked it out in my life, it was he led me to the place of my first confession of that sin. And I had two abortions, not one. So it was a heavy burden. Once I finally told him, it took a long time for me to really be able to open up and talk about that. But that first moment of sharing with my husband was so important. But this is a very important thing that I think people need to know. When you're uncomfortable and when you're feeling anxious or when you're feeling afraid or you're feeling, those are valid feelings. Those are not, you don't just make fear go away, even with God's word. You don't make anxious right. thoughts go away. It's just a call to action. It just means God is saying, you know what, let's put this on the table and let's work on this. This is something we need to work on. This is something, it's kind of like I heard a pastor one time say, you know, everybody feels terrible when they're tempted by something. But if you're tempted by something, that is, assuming you don't follow through, that is God's way of saying, this is an issue we need to work on. It's not something to feel bad about. It's something right. to say, thank you, Lord, for revealing what is truly in my heart so that I can, in confidence and in boldness and in feeling good about myself, not bad about myself, I can right. put this on the table and I can talk to the Lord about it. And so our emotions help us. Lead us towards humility, and they help us get real. You know, a lot of what people want to see right now is people getting really real with the, the things they've overcome. And I think that's a very important part of dealing with emotions. And a lot of times, purpose is the thing that makes you the most upset. It's the thing that hurts your heart the most. It's the thing that yeah. you can't get off your mind. If you see it on the news and it keeps you up at night, that may very well be what God is calling you to get involved in. And that's yes. sometimes those, yeah, yes. those,
yes.
don't try to douse out those emotions and just be happy. Yes, joy is of the Lord. But when we're struggling with emotions, that's just a moment to pull back in and say, thank you, Lord, for taking yes. me to a place to unwrap in my heart something that you want to help me on so that I can walk in freedom, that I can have that joy, and I can be clear of conscience that I'm not hiding or holding back anything so that I am not just out there being a happy Christian. I'm an authentic You know, I like to say I used to paint the happy brush on everything. Thank God now my happy brush is real when it used to be fake, you know?
Yes, yes. And I tell you what, I feel like I'm just talking to my sister who is called up in my mind, because what you're saying is I just so believe in. I'm so glad that you're our final guest of the season, because it's just capping up the whole season of so many things that I think is so important. What you said, and you know, I always tell people, temptation is only an invitation to go against God. It's not that you've chosen that. Temptation is a place where you get to make the choice, whether it's an addiction, whether it's losing your temper, whether it's, you know, not going to church or going to church, or choosing to post something negative on Facebook or not. Any temptation is a choice that we have. It's the enemy planting an invitation in our mind to go against what would be becoming of us as a believer. And we must remember, if we can remember this one scripture, we will know that we have been empowered, because all biblical counseling begins with the same scripture, 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to man, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear, but when you are tempted, he will always provide a way out. So, listeners, God sets us up with no excuses. He is always forgiving. He always forgives. His grace covers all of us. But when we're in that moment of temptation, we must remember we have been empowered by Jesus Christ himself to say, not today. I am going God's way. And isn't that just a wonderful word of hope, Beth, to know that I don't have to do what the enemy wants me to do?
It is, and we tend to take our temptations and we tend to stuff them and feel guilty about them, and we try to pray them away. But the truth is, those temptations are opportunities for us to, you know, we are called to bear one another's burdens. And, you know, I have friends in my life that they share with me deep things, and I with them deep things that we would not share with anyone else. But we need that person, because the Bible says confess. And when we are feeling tempted by something, we have to have someone, starting with the Lord. Lord, I am so sorry. You know, we don't have to hide it and pretend it's not real. Lord, I am so sorry. I am feeling angry. I am feeling tempted. That is the first step towards healing, acknowledging that you're feeling tempted, and then giving it to the Lord and confessing it. And, you know, once I confess something to a close friend, it's like the power of the temptation is gone in a puff of smoke.
Yes.
It is. It just takes it, and you're like, I can't believe I stressed about that for that long. If only I had told someone sooner. And that is what we are called to be for one another. That is what the body of Christ is. There's no shame in that. We all have temptations. We all have cliffs we're standing on the edge of. And if were it not for others there to help us,
absolutely.
That is
so freeing. And listeners, I hope that you're truly listening to this, and I hope that you're not just thinking, oh, sure, I've heard this over and over again. Or maybe you've heard it for the first time, and you're going, I cannot even believe that. Believe it. It's so true. I think about all the people in the Bible who were set free or were comforted just by running to someone and talking to them. I think about Mary when she was pregnant. She ran to Elizabeth. I mean, people, we are to run to one another and to be trustworthy so that we can hear those stories. Okay, Beth, here we go. Can you believe we have 10 minutes left? We actually have about 6 minutes left. And listeners, I just want you to know Life on Purpose is Beth's book. I know that you've heard her passion. Some of the things that she's been talking about are principles from her book. Know You're Not. Your vision is your own. How can your pain become purpose? Choose faith over fear. Your purpose and your profession. Protect your path. So many things that we really didn't get to talk about today. But I want to end. Beth said something at the very beginning that maybe got your attention. And maybe you've been wondering this a long time. And maybe it hasn't really been answered. And I want you to know the answer to this question, not only as we end today's show, but as we end our third season with our coffee broadcast. I want you to know what is different about religious versus relationship. I know you heard Beth say, my father was more religious. I didn't want to be like that. I wanted the relationship. Well, I know in Beth's book, one of the principles she talks about is, do you get grace? Do you get it? Do you understand the power of the cross and the freedom in Christ that we are forgiven? Beth, if there's someone out there right now and they're going, Beth, I don't know. I do all the right things. I go to church. I sing in the choir when they ask me. I'll even bake brownies for all of the vacation Bibles. I will do whatever anyone asks me to do. And they're so caught in the performance, performing to be a Christian. And believe me, those people are good people, and they want to do what is right. I was one of them. I did not understand that God just wanted me as I was. I didn't understand he just wanted my heart, all my brokenness. He just loved me so much that he gave his only begotten son. So would you take just a few minutes, and will you speak, Beth, to the person who is doing all the right religious things and are feeling so empty, or walking the floors at night when in the midst of this pandemic, in the midst of China and what's going on with them, and they're thinking, Lord, I don't know that I'm okay. If you were to come back tonight, if something were to happen to me, I don't know that I'm okay. Will you talk to that? Will you specifically talk to that person, Beth?
Yes. I would say that the first person that we have to get real with is ourselves. And I always like to say the best Q&A is the one that we have on our knees before the Lord. And being able to just get real with ourselves is the first thing. So we can sit down and, you know, a lot of people say set goals. I'm all about setting goals. But I think that what we need to do is sit down and say, okay, Lord, what are the areas in my life? Most of the time we don't need to ask the Lord because he has made his will known to us. What are the areas in my life where I'm pretending? Where am I not being totally honest with who I am and who I want to be? And then sit down and ask the Lord, help me identify that person in me. And, perhaps it's, at home. You know, a lot of times we're really good when we're out in the world, but where we really struggle is in those key relationships at home. And so we need to ask the Lord, what are the scriptures? What are the places where you want to bring truth into my life? I mean, do you struggle with, you know, it's easy to say, okay, I am affected by what Facebook posts are. Okay, maybe what you need to do is turn off Facebook 1 hour a day. It doesn't mean you have to get off Facebook. It just means you have to demonstrate where your intention is and begin to pull back from those places that are causing us to not be real with ourselves. And I like to say, what have you learned from what you've learned? You know, we've been in a pandemic. This has exposed the areas of our life where we're weak. We now know what we're afraid of. We now know what keeps us at home and not wanting to go out into the world. We know. We know what we know now. And what we need to then do is be able to sit down with the Lord first and then somebody. And it may just be a friend. It may not be your spouse. It may not be someone you're real close to. Sometimes we have to air that out with, you know, somebody else first. And, you know, get real with someone and say, I am scared to go out into the world. I am scared of this pandemic. I am scared I'm going to die of coronavirus. Begin to say, you know, I like to tell my mom, we have a joke, cast your care and your scare on him, for he cares for you. You can't pretend you're not afraid of what you're afraid of. But what you can do, and you can't stuff it down and make it go away, you know, to be able to say, you know, I'm scared of what's going on in our world. We have to be able to say, Lord, I am scared of this in my life. I am so afraid to tell the truth about something I've done. And it's really about getting to a healthy heart, one that is not harboring anger, resentment, shame. It's about coming, getting real with God and getting real with others and finally walking in our true identity. And if that means pulling away from the news, If that means getting off social media for a bit, whatever that means, that's what on purpose is. It's being very intentional
Absolutely.
To get to that place and pulling away from what pulls us away from our purpose.
Absolutely. Well, Beth, we could go on, and I just can't believe our time is up. But, boy, some very powerful, poignant principles that you've shared today. And I just thank you again for being on the show. And, listeners, I'd like for you to check out this book, Life on Purpose, or go to Beth's webpage. Her email address is beth@bethtownsend, BETHTOWNSEND.com, and go to her webpage, and it's just amazing. You can see her YouTube, some of her, she's incredible at interviewing people. And Beth, I'm going to call you later. I want to talk to you about something God's put on my heart to, as we've talked. But thank you, friends, so much for joining us. And I'll it's been an honor to have you, and your heart and your passion for the Lord is so strong. So know you are living your purpose, as you already know. And we fight every day to stay in our own lane, don't we? So thank you again. And to our listeners today, I'd like to thank you so much for joining us for Coffee with Kim. My name is Kim Crable, and I will tell you, as I've said many times, a few times already, it truly has been such an honor to be a part of your life. I'd like to thank Melinda Davis, who is the executive director and the creator of Up to Me Radio. She was one that I'm sure who fought many of her fears to stand in faith to create a show that is now going out to millions of people and to many nations. So to her, I give my incredible thanks and honor and just respect her so much. And I look to you now and I ask you, are you living your purpose? Have you broken, shattered the silence of the fears? Today could be your day. Today could be your day. Find a friend, call someone, and just say, can we have coffee? Text someone. Begin to shatter the silence of the shame and the guilt and regret. God did not create you to live silenced. He created you to live with passion and purpose. He knows that you have been through a lot. He knows that a lot of your good intentions have backfired on you. But he looks at the heart, and he sees you, and he is saying, come to me, you who are weary and burdened. Come to me, and let me give you rest, Matthew 11:28. That rest means that there is a purpose in there. He wants to do a reversal. Burden means a task in waiting. The things that you have gone through truly are holding a purpose in your heart. You have gone through some pain. Maybe it was ordained pain that now God wants to use to set other people free. We will never know unless we try. So today I pray that you'd listen to Beth, listen to her story, and I pray that you hear the words that I'm saying. But more importantly, I hope that you hear the Holy Spirit right now calling you. Come to me. I know you are weary. I know you are tired. I know I see you up at night. And he is saying, I gave my life. God is saying, I gave my only begotten son so that you would not have to live in shame or fear or regret. And so that you can run free. And so that you can live not just a life of success, but a true life of significance. When I was 4 years old, before I knew that I wasn't in the home that I was supposed to be in, the man that I loved so much, who was, I thought my dad, ended up being my granddad, was preparing and planting seeds in me because he knew that I would be taken. And he would say to me, Kim, there is someone who loves you so much. And no matter where you go or what you do, he will always love you. And so today, my friends, as I conclude our last episode of this season, I'd like to remind you that no matter where you go, no matter where you've been, no matter what has happened to you, no matter the mistakes that you've made, there is someone who loves you so much, and he will go with you, and he will walk with you, and he will reveal your personal purpose and plan. Choose him today. All right, friends. Thank you so much for a wonderful third season of Coffee with Kim. I'll see you back next time. Love you all. Bye, everybody.
To learn more about Kim's books, teaching materials, or to invite Kim to speak at your event, please visit kimcrable.com. Thank you for joining us today. And remember, to learn more, please visit kimcrable.com.